You can never have too many enemies. The more you've got, the more likely they are to get in each other's way. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. This is episode 73. This is actually the second time I'm recording episode 73. I'm sure some people noticed there was no episode last week, and that was not due to not planning to do one or anything. I actually was working on one, but I'll be perfectly blunt, I wasn't happy with it. It just was not a quality episode. It was basically just short of being edited and posted, but I was just not happy with the content and stuff. And a big part of that was just, you know, my schedule last week was a little cramped, so it was a little more rushed on my end, just trying to make it happen in a timely fashion. So it started off being kind of poorly made, poorly recorded. Like, the sound quality was fine, but I was just rushing through everything so badly. So, but yeah, so this week, though, excuse me, the other part I forgot was because of the Indomitus launch, though, too. The content I had going was just very much like, seemed kind of almost silly to a degree, what with about to have a rule book in my hands in a handful of days. So, yeah, it just didn't make sense. So here we are now. I am going to revisit a couple things I had planned to do and then move on. So, as far as what's new in my neck of the woods, I have Indomitus. Thank you to my lovely fiancé, wife girl Krista. You know, she's a pretty fucking baller, so I greatly appreciate this. For all intents and purposes, as a super early birthday gift, since my birthday's not till the end of next month. But can we really call it an early birthday gift, because the Regimental Vox just had its second birthday? Yay! So maybe it's not so much of an early birthday gift for me as much as it is an on-time birthday gift for the podcast. But yes, she is awesome. My queen of the nerds has certainly provided very well for me in these times of new Warhammer. So, like I said, the Vox is now 2 years old, and this lovely lady of mine has provided me access to Indomitus. So, in other news, less happy news stuff, and not so much news, but I just want to mention that it has been just over a year since our community lost Jeff and Control Robinson. You know, if any of you listened to my episode back when that whole thing happened, that was, personally, it was kind of a big thing for me. Not because, like, I knew him personally or anything like that. It was more like, here's this guy who's really into this hobby, and, you know, like, he can't get enough of it. He does podcast stuff. He does all sorts of shit around it. And yeah, I think he was 34, if I remember correctly. He was either, he was my age when he passed away unexpectedly. And yeah, he was 33, excuse me. But yeah, he would have been 34. That's what it was. But he passed away due to, if I'm remembering correctly, something to do with like a blood clot or a stroke even. And, I have high blood pressure and stuff. I'm at a very high risk, actually, for a stroke at any given time. So, for me personally, that was a bit more of a wake-up call, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, when that happens. So, but, I just wanted to note that. Since that, was almost a year ago, last week. So, but I just wanted to mention that. So, well, let's move on. As far as new stuff goes, well, Indomitus is out. Ninth edition is out. And it's pretty fucking, you know, killer looking. I've been tearing through the rule book, just kind of going over, you know, retreading stuff that we already had in the free core rules. Also looking more in depth on, you know, things we'd heard about, leaks we had before, things that were previewed, etc. And I gotta say, everything that I, you know, the more I dig into the book and everything, the more I like it. I have not sat down and played any games of 9th edition yet, so I can't say from personal experience that I think that, you know, this edition is, you know, really the edition. But theoretically, when I'm looking at all of the different constituent parts there and kind of lay it all out, I think 9th edition is kind of a big deal. I honestly do. I feel like GW really took what was good about 8th and kept it, maybe added some refinements, etc., but kept most of the core of what made 8th 8th, and then went about trying to address pretty much everything that everybody hated about 8th. You know, be it the terrible terrain rules, you know, line of sight as part of that, the way that hordes and elite armies are balanced against each other, etc., etc. There's definitely a lot of work that GW put into this edition, honestly. You know, when 8th first launched, they were taking a formula that they had kept pretty true to, you know, they changed things up here and there and stuff, but they hadn't done a full revamp, really, since 3rd edition. You know, they hadn't changed, like, the core base mechanics that lay at the heart of the game since, when was that, 98? I think it was. I want to say it was 1998 was when 3rd edition launched. That was actually my first box set that I had bought. Was the 3rd edition box set with the Black Templar on the cover, and it had Space Marines and Dark Eldar in there. 1998. I did technically start buying models and getting into the game in 2nd edition, but I was so late into it that when I went to go pick up the rule books, I was told, oh yeah, they've all been discontinued because they're being replaced and upgraded. So yeah, that just wasn't a thing. But yeah, so 9th edition does not change those core mechanics or anything. It just simply, changed the core mechanics versus 8th edition, rather. You know, 8th edition was a huge jump compared to all the previous editions. But it taking that core and refining it, like I said. In similar structure, reminds me of, like, my brain just clocked out of me. It reminds me of, like, Civilization. If anyone's familiar with playing Civilization, I've been playing Civ since the first one, and, you know, they made some big changes over the years. Civ 4 was always considered, like, the pinnacle for the longest time. Civ 5 came out and was, well, shit, to be perfectly honest. It was a pretty terrible game. They added some expansion content that actually did, you know, make the game really good at that point, but it needed all that stuff in order to, you know, polish the turd, so to speak. And then when Civ 6 launched, they basically took everything that people ended up enjoying about 5 when they were done expanding it and everything else. They took all the things that people loved, and they kept all that content. Added a little bit of refinement and polish, maybe some of it, but for the most part, it was untouched. And then everything that people hated, they dumped. And then they added a whole bunch of new stuff on top of it. And that's kind of how I feel about 9th edition. Now, that's not to say that, you know, everybody should automatically love this and it will always be perfect and blah, blah, blah. You know, eventually, 9th edition is going to get old and long in the tooth, and especially the more they tweak and expand and change and so on and so forth, eventually shit's going to get broken again, and we'll start back over on 10th edition. But honestly, what they've done with 9th is solid. As far as, once again, theoretically goes. I can't say from actual playtime. I can only speak from reading through the book so far. But with today's episode, I wanted to cover a specific part of the rules that I'm very, very excited about. And that was actually, admittedly, what I was going to do for my episode last week was focusing on the previews they were putting out for the Crusade mode. But now we don't have to focus on a bunch of disparate articles that are sharing little tidbits here and there of the game. Instead, we can go ahead and look at the actual book. So we will. But before we get into that, I also did want to address the previous episode that did come out. I was totally focused on the whole scalping thing and everything else. By the time the episode actually was published, GW, you know, I had recorded the episode on a Monday, and then I think it was Monday, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I had recorded it on a Monday. I had posted it Tuesday night. By the time it was time to post it, it was already out of date, essentially. They had announced that they were going to make the Indomitus boxes to order. And also, it seemed like, from what I've heard, they took action against various scalpers and stuff online. So, you know, GW was totally, you know, trying to fight against it. So, kudos to them for doing the whole made-to-order thing. At this point, the made-to-order on Indomitus is over, though. It ended this morning, if I recall correctly. So, and the reason that happened is because they did announce new starter sets. So, there are going to be three different starter sets coming out for 9th edition. And these are, like, true, straight-up starter sets, you know. They have the rulers and the dice in there with a small bit of models for both sides to play with. And then it's got some, like, cardboard cutout type terrain and stuff like that. Excuse me. I might yawn a little bit here and there just because I actually just woke up from a nap. I was going to try and record before napping, but I could barely think while I was at work. So, hence, deciding to go ahead and take a nap. I will say I feel much better now. Anywho, moving on. So yeah, they're going to be releasing three editions of the starter set. This is going to be kind of similar to, like, Dark Imperium versus No Fear versus First Strike. That they're the same box set at the core, and then they add new stuff on it. So there's going to... I do not have price points for these as a note, but you can kind of take, you know, the... You know, Dark Imperium, No Fear, First Strike box concepts and kind of extrapolate general ideas of what you're looking at pricing wise. So the Recruit Edition is like the bare bones basic one. Looks like it's got the 5 Assault Intercessors, the Primaris Captain, I think? Primaris Captain or Lieutenant, one of the two. It's the Lieutenant, excuse me. I think that's in here. No, dang it, I can't quite tell. The picture is not zoomed in enough. I think it's the captain. No. The Elite Edition actually says that's the next edition. I don't know. It's hard to tell. They might still swap them out, I guess, because it's very clearly not the same model between the two. Huh. Interesting. Well, learn something new every day. Anyway, moving on. But it looks like it's got the Primaris Lieutenant with the Royal Warden as his counterpart in the Necrons. And then you got 5 Assault Intercessors, some Canaptic Scarabs, and some Necron Warriors. So, just a fairly basic little starter set. Comes with the Recruit Manual, data sheets, all that jazz. Enough to get you started in the game. The Recruit Manual, I would assume, is probably just going to have the core rules printed in it. And nothing more. Then we've got the Elite Edition. Now, the Elite Edition's a little bit bigger. Looks like they've swapped out the Lieutenant for the Captain. Still has the 5 Intercessors. And that includes the 3 Primaris Bikes. And then on the Necron side, they've swapped out the Royal Warden for the Overlord. And then it does include still the warriors and the scarabs. And then it includes some of the Scorpec destroyers in there too, it looks like. So, but otherwise, dice, core rules, etc. Lastly, there's the Command Edition, which is the same models-wise as the Elite Edition, but it does also include terrain, like actual build, you know, full-on plastic terrain with it, as well as an actual hardcover, by the looks of the picture, it was hardcover rule book. The picture almost makes it look like it's an even thinner rule book, but I can't envision that that's the case. I think it's just the full rule book with a slightly different cover, but the picture makes the binding look a lot thinner, but it could just be the angle. So, but yeah, they also did mention that some people know, you know, had seen pictures of the Blade, new Blade Guard veterans and stuff. They are putting out a multi-part kit for them. We don't have a date or anything like that currently, so. But yeah, Indomitus did stop printing the, or stop doing the made-to-order July 28th at 8 a.m. BST, British Summertime, I think is what that stands for. So it's done at this point, but that's okay. We have new stuff on the way. For those who missed out on Indomitus, this box is fucking huge. I thought the Warcry box was packed to the brim with models and stuff, but a lot of that was terrain, admittedly. This, I have like two full starter armies just ready to rock and roll right out of the box. Well, after I build them and everything. So, I did start working on it. I did build the Primaris Captain. Still debating in the long run what I'm going to do. Paint scheme wise, I'm thinking I'm going to go Flesh Terrors, though. At least as it currently stands, that's what I am feeling the most. I love the idea of doing a Carcharodon's army, but I also don't feel like my painting chops are up to snuff enough to do a Carcharodon's army justice, what with all of the cool, like, tattoo artwork and tribal art stuff. Yeah, I think I would like to at some point do the Carcharodon's army as a fun project, but I've always loved the Flesh Terrors as well, and I feel like I can do a little bit better justice towards those as well. So that being said, on a total side note, if you haven't checked it out at all, go on to Google and search up Soul Haunters Primaris Marines. There's a guy who's been doing like a custom project of Primaris Marines for a while now that are really fucking ridiculous looking. It's a homebrew chapter, and the color scheme is similar, and this is why it came to mind, it's similar to the Carcharodons, more of that dark grays and things of that nature. But, and they are way, they look fantastic, for starters. I mean, they're gorgeous models. But the other big thing is they're really fucking creepy. I could totally see the Imperium, you know, in these desperate times, desperate measures situation, being like, well, I guess these guys are on our side, because they're walking around with like skulls and faces hanging off of their belts, and like blood markings all over their helmets, and they definitely look like Chaos, if Chaos had Primaris sort of shit. Whether or not these guys go rogue at some point, who knows, but a really badass chapter that it would be kind of cool, admittedly, if they decided to make them lore, you know, make them canon in the lore. I don't know how they would do that without really fucking with a bunch of shit, but yeah, they are really awesome. So, anyway, let's move on, though, shall we? We also had the Warhammer 40,000 app launch this past weekend. The internet is rather alight with how it feels about this app. Most of it is very much in the negative. I have gotten an opportunity to toy around with the app, both in free mode and in the subscriber mode, It's pretty cheap. I decided to try it just for 1 month at least, just to see how I, you know, just so I could get a feel for it. I haven't, you know, done a deep dive on it yet. But I will admit that at least without that army building mode on there that they said was going to be available, and it will be available eventually, but it's not on there right now. Until we have that, it's hard to, you know, review it entirely, because it's missing a very important key part of what makes it what it is. So I would say, you know, any reviews you see right now, take with a grain of salt as far as what the app might look like long term. But I will say, from my own experience, it is pretty disappointing. I'm not gonna lie. It is a very disappointing app. You know, it's far more bare bones than the AOS app, and you know, and especially in free mode. In free mode, I don't know what you're really getting out of downloading it, to be perfectly honest. At least when I first mucked around with it in the free mode, I really couldn't do jack shit with it. I know that they did say there were certain things you could do and certain things you couldn't do in the free mode thing, and now I can't even find the fucking... They had an article that specified these are the things that you get in this edition, these are the things you get in that edition. I don't know where that ended up running off to. I'm not actually seeing that initial... Oh, here we go. This is a while ago. Yeah, so for free, you get read the core rules, and then you can access codexes and supplements with codes. Which means once the 9th edition codexes and supplements start landing, they'll come with codes to get digital access to those things. Which is nice. It is nice. But for free right now, since there are no codexes available, you just get access to the core rules in a PDF format that just pulls up. I'm not saying that's not a worthy thing to have at all, but I don't know. If you had to pay for downloading the app in the first place just to get something that's already downloadable for free through their website, that would be total shit. As it is, it's just kind of a non-starter more than anything. I'm not offended, nor am I intrigued. It's just there. Now, you can, as a subscriber... It says, reference all your rules fast. Don't know what that's going to mean in the long run, because I, you know, are you saying that if you have the code for getting the codex unlocked, but you're on free mode, that it, you know, you have to wait for it to open up longer? You know, like it's got inbuilt shitty load time? I don't know. It seems kind of dumb. And then it's supposed to have an army list building app. Unfortunately, GW, I know you guys are already well aware of what Battlescribe is, and you're going to have to bring a lot to the table to make that worthwhile. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to bring a lot to the table to make Battlescribe totally obsolete compared to having people pay for your app. I don't know what that's going to look like. And now I understand, obviously, there's some concerns here now that they are doing this stuff that we could be seeing, like, cease and desist sort of shit or whatever else for Battlescribe. But it's hard to say overall, because Battlescribe in and of itself doesn't actually do any of the Warhammer stuff. I mean, we all know that they know even too why they're making this app and everything else, why Battlescribe, the guys who make Battlescribe made that app. It's primarily Warhammer related, at least as far as I'm aware, it's the most popular use for that app. So, but yeah, GW is going to have a long road ahead of themselves to make that worthwhile. Now, right now, though, if you are a subscriber, the one thing you can do as a subscriber at the moment is you can reference all the rules from 8th edition, including stuff from Psychic Awakening. You have access to all the data sheets and so on and so forth, you know. But, yeah, they're okay, I would say. It's nice to have access to all that stuff. It is very nice. You know, it's helpful to just click a few buttons and there they are. But honestly, it's really poorly laid out compared to having books or PDFs of books in front of you. Namely because there's no, like, there's no context to what you're looking at. You know, just as an example, I yesterday just wanted to see what the rules were again, because once again, I'm thinking about going Flesh Terrors. I wanted to see what the special rules were for the Flesh Terrors again, but I didn't have access to the books or anything at the time, so I just opened up the app since, well, I got this subscription for a month here at least. Let's see what it looks like. And yeah, it told me, but it didn't make it obvious where to exactly to find it. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't even under data sheets or anything. If I remember correctly, I had to go down to, you know what, let me just go ahead and grab my phone here. Alright, so, excuse me, let's see here. So when I first opened it up, it just brings me to a page called Reference, and it's just got, it's just black text on a white background, and, you know, like, once again, take for example how I wanted to do the Flesh Terrors thing. So I'm just looking at Reference here. Now there is a search button. Let me try Flesh Terrors. Okay, so if I do a search for Flesh Terrors, it just gives me two things, two stratagems, Aggressive Onslaught and Savage Destruction. But the worst part is it doesn't show me, like, any of the keywords or anything like that. Like, it doesn't tell me affects this stuff by keyword. You know, it's copy-pasted from the books, but, like, okay, this one says, use this stratagem in your fight phase. Select one Flesh Terrors infantry unit. So, in my mind, I'm looking at it going, all right, that should be in bold. Flesh Terrors infantry. It's pointing out the keywords. But they're not marked as keywords on here, so it doesn't make it very obvious. Until the end of the phase, when models in that unit make a pylon move, they can move up to 6 inches instead of 3. Alright, cool. But, like, it doesn't tell me any of the other stuff about Flesh Terrors. It doesn't show me Gabriel Seth. It doesn't do shit. You know, let's see, if I go to Codex Blood Angels. So Gabriel Seth is under there. And you scroll through his shit here, I'm assuming. And it doesn't even show keywords, Flesh Terrors. So, but when I do a search for Flesh Terrors, it showed me those two stratagems because they had the word typed out in the stratagem itself. But, so searching by keyword doesn't do anything. It's just, I don't know. I like the idea of what we're doing here, but I feel like there's a lot of fucking missteps. But yeah, so I'll scroll down here, though. Go down to Psychic Awakening. Blood of Baal, and where did I find that shit even before? I think it was under here? No? That's here? Yeah, okay, so there's a button for detachment abilities. You click on detachment abilities, and then it gives you High Fleet adaptations and Sons of Sanguinius abilities. So then you click on Sons of Sanguinius, and there you go. Fury Within, Savage Echoes, and the Red Thirst. You know, so it just, like I said, it's a cool idea, and I hope that GW does put a lot more work into this, though. I mean, it's well made in terms of functionality of, like, the app is stable, you know, it doesn't crash, it doesn't, you know, but it is mega stupidly bare bones to a fault. And it makes it really hard to actually find what I want, you know, very easily. So like I said, I can search by keywords, but that doesn't do me anything. Let's see here. I did just search for Stygies. I'm hitting buttons by accident. I did search for Stygies, just to see what would pop up for, like, Adeptus Mechanicus. It shows the stratagem, then it shows a Layman Ross Stygies Vanquisher, Stygies Thunderer Siege Tank, which I think those are both from Forge World. Stygies 8, Shroud Protocol's Army Bonus, Stygies 8, Xenorite Studies, Warlord Trait, and Stygies Vanquisher Battle Cannon. So, you know, some of the stuff does work, but some of it, and even then, it doesn't search by keywords. You know, once again, if I typed in Flesh Terrors, it should have showed me Gabriel Seth. It should have showed me the Sons of Sanguinius abilities and so on and so forth. It didn't do any of that. You know, it was just crap. So, overall, GW needs to definitely work on this immensely. I think that this app, honestly, I feel like this is definitely a good thing for the game. I think it's a good thing for GW. I think it's a good thing in general to move more things towards digital access when possible. Don't get me wrong, I'm still going to want to pick up the books when I can. Hell, if finances will permit me this time around with a new edition launching and stuff, I'd love to get all the new codexes and stuff as they come out just so I have them right on hand, you know? But I love the idea of I'm going to have this physical book because, damn, GW puts out some gorgeous fucking books, you know? And they're amazing, you know, just from a collector perspective. But having, you know, a code you could put in to get a digital access, just boom, like that, for sure. I'm totally down with that. And, I mean, I don't even want it to be, like, a scanned PDF of the fucking thing. You know, that's actually sounds really stupid. I would much prefer to have something that is, like, a searchable database based on, you know, okay, well, now I've got, you know, Codex Space Marines or, you know, whatever. Or say I have Psychic Awakening. I should be able to type in Flesh Terrors and have it know, all right, here's all the stuff that's good for Flesh Terrors. Fortunately, you already got the code to give you that access. So, boom, here it is for you. I think, like I said, I think that would be a very good thing. In the long run, anyways, as of right now, I think it's a really crap thing. Now, that being said, once again, I'm reviewing what should be like an alpha, or not even a beta level product. This is an alpha level product. It is massively incomplete. Rating it as an alpha product, if it was, you know, if it was offered to me as, hey, check this out. It's nowhere near finished, you know, just kind of showing you where we're going here, what ideas we have, you know, basic building blocks. It's okay, you know, but just like any alpha product, there's so little there, it's hard to actually measure. But this they're offering as not even beta, they're saying it's the full app, they just have one more feature that they're at, you know, that's coming in a little later. And if that feature that comes in later is anything like the rest of the app, it's going to be extremely disappointing, all things considered, you know, if this was considered the final product, just with one little piece, missing, it's still garbage. That Battle Forge feature better be pretty fucking baller. You know, the ability to search, once again, by keywords and stuff like that, and for rules purposes. In particular, what I would love to see is, like, take, like, take any stratagem. I would love to be able to select that stratagem in the app, and it can tell me which units in my army list that this stratagem is compatible for. You know, because sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment or whatever else, you'll miss specific keywords and stuff like that. I've done that in the past, actually, myself even. I remember I played a game before, and fortunately it was a casual game and stuff, and it was an honest mistake, but I'd use a stratagem that had really helped out my Cataphron Destroyers very strongly, and they really kicked some serious ass. And I was like, damn, these things are really fucking cooked. Well, it turned out afterwards that the stratagem I'd used was not actually usable by them because they didn't have the appropriate keyword. And it was just, like I said, super honest mistake and everything else. And, I'd never done it since. Once I realized, whoops, I think it's because the stratagem I was using needed this Skatari keyword. And I believe that they don't have that. I think they only have the Cult Mechanicus keyword, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe it's the other way around. No, it's not the other way around. I'm pretty certain. Anyway, point is that, stuff like that, if you had, instant easy access to, hey, here's a list of all of your stuff, and you could click on that and see what's compatible with what, which units are affected by which other units and, abilities and stuff like that. So, there's so much more they could do with it. And otherwise, I think it's just going to end up being a Battle Scribe that we pay for, and it probably won't even be as good as Battle Scribe. So, but anywho, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When I come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and start getting in on this Crusade mode. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, I wanted to go over the new Crusade mode a little bit. I've got this awesome 9th edition rulebook sitting in my lap right now. And we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a dive on this here. I might revisit further and stuff because basically with this book, I do want to do a review for it, but it's going to probably be in several parts overall. But we'll just kind of do like a general, look over here and see what this whole thing entails. So, for those of you who have your hands in the book but haven't gotten to it yet, it starts on page 305 with the narrative play section. Admittedly, there's not much more to the narrative play section other than the whole crusade thing. But it does also have like missions and things like that that you can use. For whatever purposes you want. But yeah, it's got the Crusade mission pack, that it shows with all the different mission choices and stuff for various sized, battles too. So not just for, smaller battles or whatever else, it's got a whole slew of choices here. But yeah, the narrative play section is literally just Crusade mode. But once again, we're not going to go into full detail reading page by page or anything like that. But we'll go ahead and just get into this and see what we get out of it. So the idea behind the Crusade Forces and Crusade Mode, for those who are unfamiliar, is basically kind of a way to, kind of like with Kill Team and stuff like that, it's a way to have a roster that you carry over from game to game that affects future games. If you've played Warcry at all, too, played the campaigns and stuff in Warcry, those have a lot of similarities there, too. The main difference here is that you're not just building a squad of dudes and that's it. You're talking full fucking army here. So the way that it works is, first of all, you're going to go ahead and pick your faction, which is based on the super faction keywords: Imperium, Chaos, Eldari, Tyranids, Orcs, Necrons, Tau Empire. Beyond that, it's, your call. If you just want to do just Space Marines, go for it. If you just want to do just Sisters of Battle, go for it. If you want to mix and match shit, as long as they have shared keywords, go for it. And then you go ahead and you build an order of battle. Your order of battle is basically your overall crusade force. It's the entire army that you have for this purpose. You can add new units to it. You could take units away. As far as adding units, though, you have to have the requisition points and stuff available to expand your supply limit so you can do so in the first place. You have the order of battle. You also have the Crusade cards, which are the individual stats sheets for each unit that is in your order of battle. You cannot change those units once they are in the order of battle, which is a yes-no. You can make changes to them, but there's specific procedures required to do so. And then supply limit. It starts at 50. And this is the power rating, basically. The combined power ratings of all units in your Crusade force must not exceed this. Now, Goonhammer had done an article talking about using points instead of power level, which I like the idea of doing that personally. I've always used points. I've never actually played a single game with power level at all. But I like the idea of having more control over the minutiae and stuff. It makes your loadout choices just feel more valuable and whatnot. So in a lot of ways, I think I would prefer to try playing it with points, which the recommended conversion rate was basically 20 points for every one power level. But I don't know. Like, I'd have to toy around with it and try it out to see how it actually feels versus the actual rules that the Crusade mode already has. But either way, so you start off with the 50 power level there, technically. It's up to you whether you want to fuck around with it or not beyond that. And then beyond that, your order of battle also has like a list of all the numbers of battles you've played, your current number of requisition points, which is kind of, it's basically the currency you spend towards upgrading your forces. So either adding new things, like new units to the force, you know, a special upgrade, so on and so forth. But we'll go over all that here in a second. But before we get into that part, it does go over the Crusade cards. Now, I mentioned those earlier on. The Crusade cards are basically whereas the order of battle is like the stats and everything for the army as a whole, Crusade cards are for the individual units and characters and all that stuff. So that's where you actually, you know, break down their current experience points, their Crusade points, which is a specific mechanic for balancing purposes between two armies that are of disparaging levels overall. As units get more powerful and get upgrades, their Crusade points value increases, thereby, you know, representing they're more powerful at this point. And like I said, that's kind of a balance system to make sure that one player is not just running away with everything and automatically winning. So one interesting thing to note, too, here with the Crusade cards is that for like psychers with their psychic powers, any like special abilities that they would normally choose from, like warlord traits, stuff like that, they don't change. So once you've set up the Crusade card and, you know, that's your unit, you've picked its loadout, you've picked its, once again, if it's a psyker, picked its psychic powers, whatever, you note those down, and that's permanent. That's not just for the battle ahead, that's for all battles henceforth. Now, there are ways to spend requisition points towards changing some stuff in those regards, but you can't just change it arbitrarily between battles, not without spending points to do so. And then it does keep track of their battle honors and battle scars, so basically the upgrades they've gotten through experience and the damages they've taken through battle. Overall, it's fairly simplistic and stuff, as far as, you know, you're not having units getting, like, wiped out and having to pay individual points to, rearm the unit by adding, you know, fresh recruits and stuff like that. There are ways to do that, but you don't have to do it by the model or anything. It's just, you can, at the end of the battle, the squad is totally renewed. Even if they got completely wiped out, you get them all back, and then you have to deal with the whole out of action thing, which we'll get into that later. So yeah, and then like I said, they do gain experience that you can spend towards getting the battle honors. Obviously, they start with 0 points. At the end of each battle, each unit that had a crusade card that was part of the list for that battle will get an 1 point. Then there's also bonuses called Dealers of Death. A unit gains 1 experience point for every third enemy unit has destroyed in total. So you keep a tally of how many units they've wiped out throughout their entire crusade history. And then lastly, Marked for Greatness. At the end of a battle, you can select one unit that has a crusade card that was part of your army list for that battle. That unit gains 3 experience points. Keep a tally on the unit's crusade card of how many times it has been marked for greatness. So that is a separate thing, too, that you keep track of, is how many times that has occurred specifically. Not just, just putting down just the experience points. So, for it. There are bonus ways that they can get points or other upgrades and stuff through specific missions, which is another thing I really like that they've done with this, is they don't just provide you just some basic mission concepts and stuff, but they actually give you narrative ways to reward the players for winning in those missions, which is really cool. There are certain units and models and stuff that never gain experience points. They never get battle honors, but they also cannot get battle scars. That would be the named characters. So yes, you can use unique named characters in Crusade mode. Anything with keyword swarms or keyword drones, which makes sense because they're so simplistic in mind that they're not really learning from experiences and stuff. Units with the fortifications battlefield role also makes sense. It's a building. Buildings don't get smarter. If you think that they do, there's something fucking wrong with you. And then lastly, summon units, which obviously they're not sticking around from battle to battle. That would get really fucking ridiculous really fast. Summon units, you can totally summon them in, just like any games, but they do not get added to your order of battle. They do not have a crusade card, etc. So, and then, yeah, there's a really cool section in there for combat tallies. Basically, you can record during each individual battle, but there is a total column as well, so you can actually see how many units that this unit has destroyed, how many times they've destroyed something using psychic powers, with ranged weapons, with melee weapons. It's really cool that you can keep track of that stuff and make it worthwhile. I mean, technically, you could have kept track of that stuff if you really wanted to before. This just gives you a little bit more of an incentive to do so, but also too, just a more controlled, hey, we've already got this thing that you can fill out, and it's cool. If you're like me and you're a nerd for numbers, it's kind of a cool thing to look at. So next up here, we have the requisition points. So requisition points, as I mentioned earlier, was kind of a currency that you spend towards getting new upgrades, new units, etc. So there's, and we'll get into the specific ways that you can spend it here in a moment. There are limitations, though. They do have it set up so you can't have more than 5 requisition points. I'm assuming that's so that it can keep things interesting, that somebody's not just, hoarding a bunch of points and never spending them on stuff. Gives you a reason to actually spend them. If you're topping out, well, you might as well, and, get some free stuff. I don't know why you wouldn't spend them, though, anyways, to get the goodies and whatnot. There are some things that cost more than 1 requisition point, so that might be one reason someone's just trying to hoard them. In fact, I think now I just answered that in my mind just now by saying that out loud. Because of those abilities that cost multiple requisition points, they're meant to be like rarer or more specialized abilities. Therefore, you don't want somebody to just hoard a bunch and then have a bunch of dudes get all those upgrades all at once. So, which makes sense. Then it does go on to say that no model in your order of battle can have a relic or a warlord trait unless you've purchased the appropriate requisition. So when you start your, crusade force, your warlord does not have a trait. They do not get a free relic, or anything like that. So, It does also specify that there are several stratagems that upgrade units before the battle, either to give them relics or warlord traits, or that like boost their characteristics or abilities. These are not usable unless you use a special requisition to do so. So, named characters do always have a warlord trait, even if they're not the warlord. So, if you have a named character that has a warlord trait, they still get that bonus whether they're in charge or not, which is kind of cool. So, gives you a reason to have multiple named characters stacked up. If a publication lists what a named character's warlord trait must be, then it must be this. So, no matter what, if I can't think of any right off the top of my head. I'm sure there are some named characters that have a random warlord trait, but most of them come with a specific inbuilt one. That's the one you have to use. And it does go on to specify, though, even though there's that whole limitation that you can't have the same warlord trait multiple times, if you have a named character that has one, then it does not prevent another model in your order of battle from having the same warlord trait, which is nice. It does specify some stuff about knight characters and stuff, that just basically, once again, same idea. You gotta purchase special requisitions and stuff to upgrade them. So, and then we'll just quick go over the actual requisitions themselves. None of the ones that are listed here cost more than one requisition point, but some of them you have to stack them to actually get a proper effect, so that does cost more. There's the basic one, increase the supply limit by, and once again, these all cost one, so I just will leave it at that. Pretty simple explanation. You get 5 extra power limit added to your, power level, excuse me, to your supply limit. Or if you were doing that whole points conversion thing, you would get 100 points added. Pretty self-explanatory overall. Then we have fresh recruits. You can select one unit from your order of battle that has a crusade card. Cannot choose one that has the battle hardened, heroic, or legendary rank. You can add any number of additional models to this unit and increase its power rating accordingly. If the unit you selected has achieved the blooded rank, you must increase its crusade points total by 1 if its power rating has gone from 10 or less to 11 or more. So, that's a nice way to upgrade units that started off as minimal size units. Keeping in mind, though, that there is a limitation there that you can't put it on certain ranked units. So if you start the game off or start your force off with a squad that is, not under strength, but like at minimum strength, and you decide you might want to add more later, keep that in mind. You won't be able to once they've earned a certain amount of experience, which makes sense. Then we've got rearm and supply. Select one unit from your order of battle that has a crusade card. You can exchange any war gear options that model in that unit are equipped with, as described in the unit's data sheet, provided that none of those war gear options would change the power rating of the unit. You also cannot replace a weapon that a model has used weapon enhancements on. So, pretty self-explanatory, and it's once again, while you are technically locked into your loadout when you create the force, there are ways to go around that and move on from that. So, if you're done with using that plasma gun and you need a melta gun, you can totally do it that way. But keep in mind that is a permanent change until you spend the requisition point again. So, moving on here, we got repair and recuperate. Basically, if a unit has battle scars, you can get rid of at least one of their battle scars. Pretty simple. Psychic Meditations is the psyker version of rearm and resupply. It lets them change psychic powers. Specialist Reinforcements. This is the thing that gives you the ability to spend stratagems that upgrade units. This upgrade is permanent and cannot be removed or changed. So, once you've used that stratagem, obviously you could spend that stratagem on other models and units and whatnot as long as you have enough requisition points. But something to keep in mind there, that whatever you give them is going to be permanent. Yeah, in fact, it doesn't even specify that you can use that requisition again to swap it out again if you decide later you want a different one on the same unit. But moving on here, we got Warlord trait. Pretty self-explanatory. Give them a Warlord trait and add to their Crusade points. Man, same deal. You can't have more models that you can't have multiple models that share the same Warlord trait, with the exception being the name characters thing. So, and then lastly, we have Relic. It's one requisition point. Boom. It's relics. You know, pretty simple. It must, and obviously, it must still be a relic that they can have. So, no giving some weird fancy Venom cannon onto a Space Marine or something like that. You're stuck with what's available to you. And same deal. Upgrades permanent, cannot be changed. Now, to my understanding, if you have Warlord traits or relics, any of those, you know, one-shot things that only one unit can have, if you ever remove the unit that's using them already from your order of battle, then they will then that will reopen the ability to get that relic or Warlord trait. So and then next we have the actual experience levels. Battle ready, blooded, battle hardened, heroic, and legendary. Points 0 to 5, 6 to 15, 16 to 30, 31 to 50, and 51 plus. So, which you will spend those, I think it's each time, yeah. So each time you gain a rank, you get a battle honor. Now, the battle honors do come in various flavors and stuff, so it's not just, like, ranking up the character itself. The unit itself in most cases, admittedly. But there's actually four different types of battle honors, and some of them are only accessible to specific models and units and stuff, and other ones are more general. And then obviously the more battle honors they gain, the more their crusade points increase by. And once again, the crusade points is a balancing currency. We will get into that, I promise. I'm not going to go into the full nitty-gritty, like, each individual trait and stuff here. We'll just go over kind of the general concept and stuff. So, for starters, you have battle traits. These are basically just skills and abilities. It is broken down into four different types of things. Character units, excluding vehicle and monster, and then monster units, vehicle units, and then any other unit. So, now, it is meant to be rolled randomly. This is another thing that I'm not certain whether I'd want to stick with that or not. Part of me feels like players should be able to choose what traits they get to make it the most effective for their units. But part of me also feels like that's just totally, you know, racking and stacking too many bonuses and shit. So maybe not the best idea in those regards. I think it would be nicer, though, if it was something where it was based off of performance. So, like, if they gave you a thing where it was like, hey, you get this battle honor if you kill 10 vehicles, you know, over the course of your unit's career, they get, you know, tank hunter ability or something like that. That would make a lot more sense to me overall. But this is fine, too. Most of them are, you know, fairly similar. They might have different names for the trait, but it's kind of the same. Like, for example, character units, they're swift and agile. And for any other unit, it's fleet of foot. You get 1 inch to the move characteristic and 1 to advance and charge rolls. You know, some of them do have unique, different battle traits that aren't available to other types of models, but most of them are just same thing, different name. And then we have weapon enhancements, which is just what it sounds like. They are enhancements to the weapons. You cannot do this on, like, relics or things of that nature. And also something that has not been enhanced by that particular battle honor before. So you can't just keep picking out various enhancements and stuff. And they have it's a D6 table, for ranged weapons, one for melee weapons, If a model is Titanic, you roll a D3 instead to determine what the weapon enhancement is. So, next, we have Psychic Fortitudes. These are basically boons that are only good for psychers, believe it or not. Nothing much more to that. And then lastly, we have Crusade Relics. Now, these are separate relics from the things that are available in your codex for your individual armies. And as such, they can be loaded out separately from the from a relic from your army. So this one is only good for characters, and they can have any number of Crusade Relics, but the same Crusade Relic cannot be included in the order of battle more than once. And a character model can have Crusade Relics even if they have other relics. So there's three different categories: Artificer Relics, Antiquity Relics, and Legendary Relics. So they basically kind of boil down to being different levels depending on the units that are receiving it. So, for example, the Artificer Relic, any character model can get it. And I say it when there's multiple choices to choose from, like Mastercrafted Armor, there's a conversion field, etc. Then we have Antiquity Relics, can only be given to heroic or legendary models. And then lastly, there's Legendary Relics, which not only can they only be given to legendary characters, you must pay a requisition point on top of the points you're already spending to get it. So they do give the example: add an additional 2 to a unit's total crusade points for each legendary relic it has. This is in addition to the +1 from gaining a battle honor for a total of +3. So they are also going up in crusade points in the process too, faster than they would otherwise. So there's some cool stuff here though. In particular, I will say with the legendary relics, there is like even a vortex grenade, which is really fucking cool. Then we come to the out of action. Out of action is basically when a unit was destroyed, you roll a d6. On a 2 up, they pass and you're good. On a 1, the test is failed, and you get to choose whether they receive a battle scar or get a devastating blow. Devastating blow being that they lose d6 experience points and cannot gain experience points from this battle, from agendas achieved, battle experience, or for being marked for greatness. So if you don't want to scar somebody up and don't mind throwing away the experience they could have earned plus some, there's that option too. Personally, I feel like, once again, this is kind of weird that you get to choose one or the other. There is a limitation though. Once, a unit cannot have more than one of the same battle scars. So if they do happen to have some really bad luck and end up with all 6 battle scars, then they have to take devastating blow. And I say 6, but there's actually technically 24. Because once again, character units, monster units, vehicle units, any other unit. So, overall, there's some interesting stuff there. Same idea as the battle traits, though, that some of them are the same thing, just with a different name, depending on whether they're a character or a vehicle or whatever. So, moving forward here. So, selecting your army, is kind of like you would any other game. You're going to pick out the models and units you want to use, write up the list, and go for it. And this is where the crusade points come into play, through crusade blessings. When two Battleforged crusade armies battle each other, it is likely that one or the other will be more experienced. To determine this, after players have mustered their armies, both players should compare the combined crusade points of all units that are on their army rosters. If there's a difference, then the player whose army roster has the lower total number, so basically the underdog, gains a number of bonus command points for that battle equal to half the difference. So, this once again is designed to try and allow an inferior would be the better word. Inferior as far as your strength and stuff like that as an army, if you're playing at roughly 50 power level for what you have, but your opponent's playing 100 power level, you can totally do that. And then you just get these Crusade Blessings for extra command points. So that's pretty cool. It does go on to explain more about split units, combat squads, summon units. It's all pretty similar self-explanatory type of stuff. So, and then after that, we do have the actual Crusade missions themselves. You can pick out your battle size for starters. And it does have a whole grid here explaining, you know, roughly how long the game should take, how many command points you get, the maximum power level of each army, so on and so forth. It's pretty cool overall, and once again, it's fairly extensive. Insofar as it does affect your future games and stuff too. So, all right, let's see here. I don't think there's anything else on this page that isn't fairly self-explanatory. But then agendas. So agendas are basically like secret missions that you have. And the amount of agendas you can have is based on the size of the game. So at the base end, combat patrols get 1 point. On the high end, onslaught gets you four agendas to use. So moving on here, though, as soon as I can flip it, there we go. And then beyond that, there's just all the different missions and stuff. So they've all got a lot of cool way that the objectives work and stuff. But what's really cool is many of these missions, admittedly, I think it might be all, but many of these have bonuses to the victor. So, for example, there's the assassinate mission, which is combat patrol. After the battle, the victor can select one unit from their army that has a crusade card. This must be a unit that can gain battle honors. That unit gains a battle trait of your choice. So, you know, that's pretty cool, especially when normally you have to roll for it, but instead, in this case, you totally get to roll with what you want. Definitely a nice change of pace, rather than being forced to conform. So, beyond that, yeah, it just kind of goes into greater detail on the individual missions and stuff that you can play, how you win, etc., etc. So, but, and I, you know, once again, this is just pretty baseline review sort of thing there. But overall, I really like what I'm seeing. I think, once again, that I might consider trying to do points value instead of power level. But that's just because I really love the way points work. And I have no experience with power levels. So, but if you're looking for a super casual experience with 40K, with 9th edition, I feel like this is a pretty solid way to kind of get into it. It comes across as a really good way if you're working on building a force or something like that, to kind of give you some motivation. You know, you could use it as like a challenge, like I can't add a unit to my order of battle until it's painted or whatever else. So kind of, you know, a make your own escalation league of sorts. So, but yeah, and what's really cool too with this is it doesn't have to be attached to a specific campaign or anything. You can totally just pick up your models, bring your roster along, your crusade journal and stuff, and there you go. You can just get a game in that actually still counts towards something. So I'm personally definitely considering doing some sort of campaign-based league at some point. Obviously, with the Rona going around, I'm not entirely comfortable running events. But that being said, if other people are going to be playing anyways, and I can provide some extra modicum of enjoyment at least to the game by having a campaign already set up and going, by all means. Otherwise, if you just want to do your own thing with it, that's the thing, is it's really open overall. So, but I think I'm going to call it a call at that for today, guys. As always, you can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/theregimentalvoxpodcast. You can follow me, on Twitter, twitter.com/theregimentalvox. Lastly, you can always hit me up on Patreon as well. Every little bit helps. patreon.com/theregimentalvox. So, in fact, I think I misspoke when I did the Twitter thing. It's twitter.com/regimentalvox, not the Regimental Vox. Apologies. So, but yeah, that's, I think that's going to be it for tonight, guys. So I will be, of course, following up with some more stuff on 9th edition here in the next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And yeah, if you have any of your own thoughts or feelings on it, feel free to hit me up on Facebook, and you can either message me, or you can, you know, just, leave a comment on this post, for this episode, or any other post for that matter. I don't care. Although it's make it easier if it at least was something relevant. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next week. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.